to AUP Radio, a melting pot of voices and ideas. This evening we once again have The Arab and the Gay, The Liberty Show, and Let's Get Lit. Enjoy.
Welcome back to another episode of
The Arab and the Gay.
We're so happy to be here. We're so excited for our very loved and great friend of ours, Ajin Mustafa. How are you, Ajin?
Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yes.
Mustafa?
Yes. I'm sure she knows how to pronounce it.
Yeah, come on, Kevin. The Arab knows how to pronounce an Arab last name.
Oh, well, of course you do. But I, as your like basic little white boy from Montana, I need teachings.
True.
Oh, that's true.
I need to be learned.
Learned?
Learned.
That should be added to Webster.
I think she is.
Is she? Proper pronunciation.
I don't know.
Miss Ajin, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I know we had a bit of a rush. I'm sorry to. We were running a few minutes behind on schedule, but now we're on it. We're working through it. We're so happy you're here. So the gist of our show, a little bit, we're all about positivity. We're here to spread the love. And, you know, one of the reasons as to why Ajin and I were actually in Brussels this past weekend. And
I heard that it was a really... It was an interesting trip, Ajin.
It was very interesting.
Did you have a good time?
It was good, but I didn't like Brussels a lot.
Yeah, I didn't like Brussels.
Oh, either. I didn't even ask you if you liked. Yeah, because people are like, I've always heard like, it's beautiful, but
no.
Like, it's kind of meh.
It's so meh.
It's meh.
It's the definition of meh.
Exactly.
Oh, it's European meh.
Really? Oh my God, that is like in a nutshell.
Because there's American meh. There's
right.
Probably African meh.
Totally.
There's Asian meh.
Totally. Asian, I don't know. I feel like everything's good there.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. There wasn't much to do there.
No, not at all.
No.
Yeah, so.
Oh,
so,
well, yeah. What did you end up doing?
I don't know. What did we end up doing?
We went to Bruges.
Bruges is pretty, isn't it?
Bruges is... You know something? I was expecting it to be much better than what people... Like how people mentioned it.
Exactly.
But it was actually very average. It's cute. Like it looks like a little candy land.
Oh.
Like it's super cute.
Did you have chocolate?
I actually didn't. Yeah, I don't know why, but I was like, there were like too many chocolate options and I was just like, I don't know which one to get. Like I was just like, there's so many options and I just totally got overwhelmed and panicked.
Anyway.
Yeah. But so, we got a waffle that didn't taste much like waffle.
Oh yeah, we went to Maison d'Andeuil.
Nice pronunciation.
Honey, she's cultured.
Maison d'Andeuil.
Maison d'Andeuil. And like, it really wasn't that special. It's like the number one waffle.
Was it super touristy?
There was a long line, yeah.
Okay, then that means it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, that's true. I love when Kevin says that. He's like the wise
sage of places that don't have to be good because they're touristy. They don't have to be.
He's so wise.
If a place is like
gentlemen.
Super well known.
Wise Owl Kevin. That's what
exactly.
We should call him.
And it didn't taste good at all. I was like disappointed eating sweets after 3 months and it tasted super bad.
Oh, that's right. Because you've been like not.
She's
you've been
on
like,
a diet.
She's been on a diet. Speaking of positivity, I just want to say, Ajin, that your nails are beautiful.
I told her that too.
Thank you.
They're
gorgeous.
They
look really, really nice.
I did it in Kurdistan.
Cute.
Oh, how was your trip, by the way?
It was great. Perfect.
Was it perfect?
Yes.
Now, you were there like receiving your bachelor's degree, right?
Yes.
Ajin's a master's student, crushing it in Paris, but she had to go home for
crushing
her
it.
Bachelor's degree ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our ceremony was 4 months late, so.
Oh, nice. I love it when that happens.
And I didn't want to miss that moment, but to be honest, I didn't feel anything because, like, I was already studying again.
Yeah.
When I was like, we're done, but I'm not done.
Yeah, totally. Ajin.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. We still have not jumped into it.
That's true.
Tell us a little. Tell the fans a little bit about yourself. Come on.
So, I'm Ajin, 22 years old.
Yes, she is.
And what am I doing? Oh, I'm living in Paris right now. studying my master's degree, which is way more challenging than I thought it would be, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
And, well, that is it.
Where are you from originally?
That's it? girl.
Well, Jean. I didn't want to talk too much. I was like giving
This is your time.
We have you on here, so you talk.
This is your time.
Okay, then.
All about you. Yeah. There was, okay, I know you guys can't see us, but there was a massive hair flip just there. She was like, okay, I'm going to talk all about myself. Don't even worry about
now
it.
Now that I know.
So, yeah, tell us all about yourself, where you come from, and yeah.
Okay, so I'm from Kurdistan, and most of you might not know where that is, but this is northern Iraq. So, yeah, I'm from there, and I'm excited to be here because I want more people to know about Kurdistan. That's why.
Yeah.
It's a good chance to tell people that we exist.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
What
do you want the people to know?
What do you want the people to know?
Yeah. What about Kurdistan?
That we exist, and we've been trying to save the world in some way by fighting ISIS or some other things that we do, but let's not get into politics in here, that because we're here for positivity. So.
Yes.
Well, but I mean, we can still talk about politics. I mean, we can still, it can still be a positive conversation. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where we can talk about things that are happening, acknowledge the fact that it's all like stupid and sad, mm-hmm. and then laugh because.
That's true. I guess Kevin is always right.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Don't tell him that. I like a Jean. She should always be on our show.
We like a Jean. So tell us, you know, tell us some of the, you know, one of the things we like to talk about here is like adversity and difficulties. And, you know, is there anything that has happened to you in your life that you would be comfortable sharing that you've like lived through or seen or like overcome?
Well, I almost died.
Oh.
Oh.
And I'm alive. So I guess that's something very positive.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we could do an interview with the corpse of a human. Yeah.
Exactly. So like in 2015, I was very fat. Well, I still am, but
I
was a bit fatter than I am now. And I decided to undergo a weight loss surgery.
Uh-huh.
And I did, but the surgery failed. So
What happened?
I put a gastric balloon, but then it didn't work and it slipped through some medical stuff that I don't know about. So they were trying to get the balloon out.
Uh-huh.
They cut some parts of my body and all toxins went all over the body.
Oh, yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
That was like
Did they cut your liver or something?
No, not the liver.
Pancreas?
Pancreas. And some other things. So toxins all got into each other and the doctor went out telling my mom, I'm sorry, but your daughter is going to die.
Jeez, man. That's rough.
Yeah. And then the doctor left. He said there isn't anything else to do. And then there was another doctor who was going to fly to Canada, but his flight got canceled. So he came back to the hospital and he said, okay, she's 17 years old, just like my daughter. I'm going to go and try to do the operation, but there needs to be a miracle for her to be alive.
Oh, my goodness.
So he went and he made my mom sign a paper that if she died, it's not my responsibility. I'm just going to do something.
Wow.
And I spent months in the hospital under intensive care.
Oh,
but
honey.
Here I am living in Paris.
Where was this?
It was in Turkey.
In Turkey.
Oh, yeah. And then after that, I went to Vienna for some more medication. And I hate that city.
What do you have against the Viennans or
Viennese?
Well, Viennese.
Nothing,
Viennese.
But apparently I've been living all my saddest moments in Vienna.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
That's fair. Well, that's fair. You know, sad things happened in Vienna.
I mean,
Mozart was from there. He died there. You know what? I say that, but I don't actually know that much about the history of Vienna.
Sorry, huh?
Other than in German, it's Wien. Wien.
Like wine. In
it's
French.
W-I-E-N, vin.
Yeah, but like in French, wine is vin.
It's vin.
Ugh. Leave me alone. Let me be.
But back to Ajin.
Yes, back to our lady.
Wait, so I mean, so you were out of commission for what, like a year?
For about 6 months.
Oh my God.
And then I didn't go to university that year, so.
Oh, wow.
I was just in doctors from one doctor to another.
Oh, honey.
From one doctor to another. But then I'm all good now, so that's great. I guess.
Wait, how many months did you spend in the ICU?
I spent around 3 months.
Jeez.
In intensive care, huh? In Turkey?
It was boring.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then the thing is, so I spoke Turkish. I asked the lady, I'm like, can you please play some songs for me? I'm like bored. I can't even see anyone because they were not allowing anyone. So she played a song for me and the song was like, I'm dying this evening.
Oh, no.
And then I started crying and she comes in, she's like, but you asked for music. I was like, well, yeah, this music says I'm dying. And it's saying it continuously.
Oh, no.
And then another funny thing is, so, you know, they put these things on your heart. For the beep and stuff. And then apparently one of them got off and then it was beeping. And in that very moment, another patient was maybe dying and they got him the electric shots.
Did they come to you?
So they put it in front of my door, but then they left and I'm like shouting, I'm dying, come and help me.
No. Oh my God.
And then I, like, you know, there are the bells that you ring. I was ringing 3 bells at a time and shouting at the same time, come, I'm dying. Why isn't anyone doing anything? But then I wasn't. I was just being dramatic.
I'm so glad that you were not. I'm so glad. I'm actually so glad that you made it out and you're okay. And here you are living your best life in Paris. And you know, you're really killing it. You're crushing it. And like one
thank
thing
you.
I just, you're welcome. And one thing I just want to ask is like, how do you remain so positive despite, you know, everything that's happened?
Well, I don't know. Too many of my friends ask me the same thing. And I guess it's because when you face death, you realize that there are so many beautiful things about life.
Yep.
Like when I was sick and then I heard the doctor speaking in Turkish saying, this girl is not going to live. This is when I wanted to live. And I was like, I'm too young. There are too many things to do. And I guess this is what's making me feel very attached to life. And the fact that my name is We Are Living.
Is that what Ajin means?
Yes.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yes, so I love it. I feel like this name was
chosen for you.
Chosen for me.
Yeah, so it was your destiny for sure.
Literally, I always find a way to like have fun, enjoy it, even in the worst moments, like try my best to stay positive.
Yeah, totally. That's
Oh, Ajin. Well, it means we are living?
Yeah.
Is that in Arabic?
No, Kurdish.
No. Yeah. Oh, it's in Kurdish. I know. Well, no,
Kevin
hold on.
Kevin gave me a face. Kevin gave me a face.
Well, that's because
I was like, I didn't know that.
That's because I thought, okay. Yeah, no, okay. No, I'm back. I'm with it. I know, Ajin, I am smart enough to know that Kurdish and Arab are different, but.
Yes. I'm sorry for this loud voice.
No, that's okay. That's why you're on here.
Yeah, we like it. We like it a lot. Ajin.
How do you feel about being on the radio right now? Do you kind of like it?
I do.
Right?
And it's I like fun. You guys.
Aww, thank you.
But it's funny because like everybody like gets on here and like starts out a little nervous, but then like the minute they put it
they
on and start
it.
Talking in it, they're like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. Listening to you guys is also fun.
Oh,
I've listened to all of your episodes.
Thank you.
True number one fan.
She is.
We should get her a shirt.
She's our only follower on Twitter. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. My brother just started following the other day.
Cool.
So we have two followers on Twitter, the Arab and the gay.
We're so famous. We're going to make it, Kevin.
We've already made it.
That's right. Yajin started following us, so we're done.
We don't need
to do anything anymore.
No, I just had a question.
Go for it. Well, I have a question myself.
Go ahead, because there it went.
Was there anything that, like, any side effects that happened because of that surgery or anything, like, after that happened?
Oh, yes. 2 years later, I started fainting out of a sudden. Like, I was sitting, and then I would faint for no reason. So I went to many doctors. In the beginning, one of them told me that this is cancer. Because they are seeing some things through the MRI thing that you go through. So I went to other doctors until one of them finally found out that this was nothing very serious. It was just a brain cell damage that was caused by high fever during the operation time.
Wow.
So yeah, I had to like I fainted too many times, including once in the bathroom, university bathroom back home. And like everyone was trying to open the door and they found me there after 30 minutes. That was not cool. I woke up and then my hair is all blood. I'm like, oh, did I die? But then I was like, no, not this time.
I love that determination. She's like, I'm not going to die today.
Not today.
Not today,
not
Satan.
Today. Not today. I was just, oh my God, I was literally
not today,
just gonna
Satan.
Say, not today, Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's the song that says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. My voice is too bad.
No, but it's just so true because, yeah. I mean, if you can learn from it and if you can grow from it, I mean, it really, really, really does make you stronger. As cheesy as that line is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very, it's a little cheese.
It's it's a little cheese ball. It's total cheese.
Yeah, it is, but it's very true.
It is very, very true, yeah.
So I'm currently, this last Sunday I went to a writing meetup, like a writing group that people just kind of sit around for 45 minutes, write, take a 15-minute break, 45 minutes, write, 15-minute break. Anyway, I like pumped out like 7 pages of like single spaced, and like they're all like chapters. I've done like 3 chapters so far of just like things that have happened in my life.
Yeah.
But the point of this was I did write a couple of things where I even like in parentheses was like, that just made me want to vomit a little bit.
That's me. Sometimes I try to write on my diary and I write very cheesy stuff. I'm like, yeah, what am I writing?
Speaking of cheesy, did you ever see Eat, Pray, Love?
That movie is terrible.
So I never saw it, but I'm currently in the process of watching it. And
oh no!
I mean, it's terrible. It's it's not. I was expecting to like really, really hate it.
But you kind of like it.
I kind of don't mind. Well, because she has no. Because the reality is in it, she has a couple of lessons. Like there are a couple of moments where I'm like, oh, I want to hate that, but I don't.
It's true
because it's based on a true story.
It is. It's based on the book, and the book is based on a true story.
But so. I mean, but you know, there is a whole like, oh my God, I'm a white woman going to India. Speaking of India, I'm going to be a white woman going to India as well.
Yes, he is.
I'm going to India as well.
It's
going to
be me, a Kurdish woman, and a bunch of other people.
A bunch of Americans.
It's going to be fun.
I think it is. It is pretty much all Americans, isn't it?
Americans are everywhere. Have you realized?
We all...
Ooh, it sounds like there's a little bit of fighting words behind that. She's like, there's Americans everywhere.
No, come on. I like Americans. If not, I wouldn't be in an American university.
Totally.
Right,
fair enough.
Kevin?
Totally. Yeah, no, fair enough.
And I like
Kevin. Saying you don't.
Can I just say unpopular opinion? Julia Roberts is not a good actress.
No, she's not.
Can I say something? I don't even know him.
Julia Roberts.
Oh, that's a girl.
Guys.
I wasn't sure whether you said him as a joke or like it's sort of like a language thing, but now I realize.
Ajit, Pretty Woman? You made a big mistake. Huge.
Why? I mean,
I have to go shopping now.
Oh no.
Ajit, you really don't
know.
We
need to have a movie night. I could quote that film for you word for word.
You really don't know who Julia Roberts is?
No.
She's got red hair, long...
Big smile,
big lips.
Well, the thing is, I don't watch movies a lot.
Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah.
That's fine.
Fair enough.
That's fine. But, like, yeah. I wonder if Sandy knows who Julia Roberts is.
Oh, Sandy.
Speaking of which, she never saw Edward Scissorhands.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen Edward Scissorhands, please let us know because we need to solve this riddle of if people have seen it or if they haven't seen it because we're not sure.
Feel free to tweet us.
Yeah, tweet us.
The Arab and the Gay.
Instagram, whatever. DM us. Let us know because we're not sure. Anyway, Ajit.
Yes, girl. What are you talking about?
We're talking about Julia Roberts.
And now we're talking about Ajit because we need to focus on
Ajit Roberts.
Okay, Ajit Roberts.
I flip my hair again.
Yeah, sure.
You should absolutely flip your hair again.
She's the star
Ajit,
of this movie.
What do you see your future holding for you?
Well, I see myself to be a politician one day.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that, working towards it.
What kind of politician or like what, like are we talking like president? Are we talking like...
President of Kurdistan?
President of Kurdistan.
No, I'm not that. I mean, I do not go this far. I want to be a minister.
A minister.
Yeah. Minister of education, maybe, because I was able to get my education in a private institute. And then I see my friends getting one in a public institute, and I see the difference. So my dream is to be able to develop or change the public sector.
Sure.
To something better.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's so funny. So yesterday I was at the Paris Peace Forum, and one of the talks that I watched was actually with the Qatari foundation, and the woman, it was on education and using artificial intelligence to further education. And I'm not going to lie, it wasn't a topic that particularly interests me. So I only half listened to it, but education.
I think education.
I'm so grateful for that story, Kevin. Truly, where would we be?
Look, I just, as soon as I finished that, I'm like, how's Haya going to respond to this? Because I totally just stopped.
I absolutely loved that story. That was so necessary. Thank you so much. Do you want to do the show alone? Because you just have so much to say.
If you're just joining us, this is The Arab and the Gay on AP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:20.
I'm going to tell that story at every dinner party I ever go to going forward.
I went to the Paris Peace Forum, didn't really pay attention to one section, and I learned. Yep. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it was. I mean, the Peace Forum itself was interesting, but.
Oh, yeah. I was so jealous that you guys were there. I'm like, why am I not there?
Well, you could have gone.
I know, but I was in Brussels. Remember?
We were in Brussels, honey.
Oh, did you got back yesterday?
We were living La Vida Loca.
You live in La Vida. I did hear a little bit about your Monday
no.
night.
Oh, no.
Just a little bit. I heard.
Don't talk about it.
No, I won't. It was just like Middle Eastern girls gone wild.
For those of you that are interested to know, Monday was not a pretty night. Okay? That's all you need to know.
Exactly.
It wasn't pretty.
It was
not.
It was
really.
Not. It was fun. Won't do it again, though.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
You know?
Some things are supposed to be
done. Is Reem okay? Have we seen her?
She is okay.
She's okay. Have you talked to her?
Yes.
Did you talk? Okay, good.
Yeah, she's all.
You made it back on the train, okay?
Okay.
Yes.
They got on a bus.
We did.
For 4 hours.
Well, that might not have been so bad, actually, if you were sitting next to each other.
Yeah,
and
well,
that might have been okay.
Not bad.
Ew.
Was it a Flixbus?
Yeah, and we
Flixbus
slept.
Is totally decent. I like Flixbus.
Yeah, it was good, and we were sleeping, so we didn't even feel it.
You know.
And then on my way back home, we were in the bus, I got tired. I'm like, I'm just going to take an Uber.
Good for you.
Yeah,
we took. I took so many Ubers in Brussels. I think I took 10 in a span of a day and a half.
Same. I did that as well.
Yeah, I took so many Ubers. Uber everywhere. I love that song.
Ugh.
Anyway, Miss Ajin, question for you that I actually want to ask: why do you want to be a politician? I know you studied international You studied IM in your undergrad, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, she studied it like us. So, what made you want to change to being a politician?
Well, I wanted to be a politician since I was a little kid, but then I was studying in English, and when I went to university, they didn't have politics and international relations in English back then. So I thought, okay, I can go to business and change next year, but then the next year I got sick, so I lost another year of university, and I didn't want to lose more.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just do business and then I'll go and do politics or international relations for my master's. So, yeah. And the reason I want to be a politician is because, I don't know, I feel like we can, or personally, I can do something to change my region.
Absolutely.
And I think by managing the public sector and managing specifically the schools in the public sector, we can change a lot about our region.
Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Brava.
Brava.
Oui.
Brava.
Oh, so I love saying oui. I think it's the only French word that I've mastered so far.
Good for you, honey.
Good for you, Eugene.
Just that word, you're incredible. You're doing the most.
No, actually.
She's basically French.
She says we.
We.
This is madame. I know.
We.
One thing that I honestly hate is when French people are talking to me and they think I speak French. Uh-huh. And I'll just be like, I'll just start laughing or I'll say we and they know. I have no idea what I'm doing. They know that I don't know what they're talking about.
I remember what that felt like.
I hate it. Honestly, I must say that I...
Tell me.
That I feel like... Because I have never...
Tell us.
If you'll let me. I have like... You know how like right now immigration is like a huge issue in the U.S.?
Yeah.
It's always like, oh my God.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh sorry.
Kevin.
Just joking.
It's actually very serious. There's kind of like this wall being built. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Are they actually building it?
Like, yes and no. It's like there's a wall, but it's a joke. Like, it's not like keeping anybody out.
Well, no, it won't.
No, yeah. Like, it's not doing anything. Anyway, point is, I know there's like this huge issue with immigration and like how people are always like yelling at people who don't speak like English or whatever, and they're always like, speak English, like this is America.
Oh, and now that you're living here, you understand.
And now that I'm here, I totally know how they feel, because I've never been like able to, like, I feel for them, and I feel guilty that people are like, I feel bad that people are yelling at them and calling them immigrants and like saying like, hey, get out of here, like that's obviously not okay. But now that like I'm on the other side of the spectrum, I'm like, oh God, like I know, like I feel like I'm like such a burden. Like I don't know how to explain it, but I just feel so guilty that I don't speak French and that I can't properly communicate with the people. And it's like they must feel bad because the French are very proud of their culture and their history
and their language.
And their language. Absolutely. I mean, it's such a beautiful language. Like
it's
gorgeous. It is. Like when they talk, it's just like, oh my God, that's beautiful. So I don't know. Like it's just, I've never felt like this.
I'm glad you say that, because one of the things that I've always been very grateful for is, I mean, when I came here when I was 16, I didn't speak a word of French.
Right.
So over half my life now, I've known what it's like to move someplace and not be able to communicate.
Yeah.
And I've always, my whole life, been very grateful, because that gives me a... That gives me a level of understanding that most Americans don't have.
Absolutely.
And so like when I, you know, working in the restaurant industry in the United States, like, you know, everyone that works in the kitchen or the back of the house,
they speak a second language.
They speak Spanish. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there's, many of them barely speak English.
Correct. Yes.
And so because I knew what that was like.
Yeah.
You know, I always had such a good relationship because I would talk very slowly.
Yeah.
And I would enunciate very clearly and use very simple words.
Totally.
And people always appreciated it so much. And so what you're saying right now, like, I totally get it.
Yeah. It's rough.
Because it's not a burden, but you're like you want to be able to talk to people and say things.
I really
and you're
do.
Like, je voudrais, oh shoot, I don't know that next word.
What does je voudrais mean?
I would like.
Girl, you know more
She's
than we.
She's killing it.
Yes.
She said she knows we, but clearly she knows more.
No,
she
needs a Frenchman. Do know more.
I'm sure you do.
I mean, I've started watching French movies and...
Are you taking French this semester?
Oui.
I mean, that's the one she's mastered.
And
so,
we're back. We.
Oh,
it's cool.
Yeah.
I've been watching French movies and I'm trying to learn French through Duolingo. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
And that works.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can understand people somehow, like 50%. But then the rest of the 50%, I'm just like, huh? What are you even saying?
Comment?
Wait, question. What French movies are you watching? Are you Amélie?
Well, no.
Have you ever seen Amélie?
No.
Le fabuleux destin d'Amélie Poulain?
I've actually watched it and I didn't like it. And I was like, I'm done.
I've not watched it.
Ah.
Well,
you should watch La Vie en Rose.
I watched some French series as well on Netflix. I'm just like French. And then...
Anything French.
What series is it?
One of them was called Marseille.
Oh, cute.
Ah, d'accord.
Oui. And then the rest of them... I don't remember the name, but I can tell you.
They must have been really good.
Well, like, the thing is, some of them were okay, but then... It's just like you... and it was the first week that I came to France and I started watching them, and I'm just like, okay, what is that thing? And I made the French sub, I mean the subtitle French, so I had no clue what was going on in the beginning.
Oh no.
But I learned Turkish like that, so I'm positive that that'll
be that's right. Ajin, you speak like four languages.
Yes, I do.
You want to tell the crowd?
English, Turkish, Kurdish, and Arabic?
Arabic, yes.
Oh my God, I'm so smart. I like totally guessed
you
all of
them. You got it. Oh my God.
I think most of the people in our region like speak more than two languages.
Well, you have to.
Yeah. Actually, they all speak Kurdish and Arabic, the older generation, and the newer generation, and the ones who are going to like private school speaking English. And then there are others who try to master other languages, and I was one of them. I tried to learn French, I mean Turkish and Arabic, just through the TV.
Sure.
Because I never took classes for them.
Sure.
And I can speak Turkish fluently now, and Arabic I can understand everything. But as a kid, I was very racist, and I would say, I don't understand, and I don't speak Arabic. So
you're proud. But, you're proud of where you come from.
Yeah. Well, but I'm not proud of being racist.
No, because, well, like, of course not.
Like, but that was when I was a kid.
You've learned.
Yeah, but now, I mean, I try to speak in Arabic, but because I've said, no, I don't. So, yeah.
Ajin, I have to interrupt you because we have to be done now.
Okay.
And so... thank like you that. So much.
She's like, okay.
To another episode of The Arab and the Gay with myself, my darling Haya, and our wonderful friend Ajin. And we'll see you next week.
We hope you were all inspired by this episode, and we hope you tune in again. Can't wait.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello and welcome back to The Liberty Show. I am your host, Andrew Callahan, and this week we have a full bench going. I'm joined today by three of our loyal student supporters, Sam, Dora, and Kathy. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Doing great.
Doing great.
Excellent. And we are also joined again by AUP's star center back, Mr. Jonathan himself. Jonathan, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you, Andrew. How are you?
I'm quite dandy. Thank you for asking. All right. Before we start talking all things sports, let's talk volleyball first. Kathy is our resident volleyball team member today.
Expert. Hello.
Kathy, you've got a game right after this, right?
I do. I'm waiting here.
How are you feeling about that?
Hopeful. I hope it'll go better than last game. So, yeah, I'm excited. Our coach will be back this game. So
that is good.
Be interesting.
Yes. How many games have you played so far?
I want to say 3 and 1 scrimmage, so 4.
Okay. And how have you guys done in those games and scrimmage?
Unfortunately, we have lost every single one. But I like the team a lot, so
okay.
It's a fun bonding experience.
That's good. That's very good. We like to build community in our sports teams.
Exactly.
You and Sam are actually both partner students or visiting students.
Yeah, from the same university, actually.
Which is?
Wellesley College.
Yep, we actually didn't know each other at all before moving to Paris, and then we showed up at our apartment and realized that we had been at the same school for the last 2 years without ever meeting.
That... I can't speak to that experience. That must have been unique, though.
Yeah, it was actually really cool because we've been able to bond over so many shared experiences in the past, but while also having, like, not known each other at all, been able to form, like, friendship while here in Paris.
Yeah, it was nice having the familiarity of Wellesley here, I guess.
All right. So, Jonathan and I, as mentioned before, we're on the same futsal team together. We're the defensive core of the team, some may say. So Jonathan's going to speak a little bit about our season as we have 2 games coming up. And just a brief recap, where are we at, Jonathan?
We are at 1 win and I want to say 2 losses.
I want to say it's 2 as well.
Yes. I think it's 1 win, 2 losses. Yeah.
We're playing, do you think we're going to win this Friday? Just first of all, let's get that question out of the way.
I'm going in thinking that we can and we should be striving to win. Yeah.
Fans, do we think we're going to win?
Oh, definitely.
I know very little about futsal, so it all looks good to me. Not going to lie.
Yes, it's very exciting to watch. So
the answer is yes. You guys will win.
Yes.
Kathy and Sam, how did you get trapped into being our fans? Did Dora just trick you and you felt guilty ever since? Or
well, Dora.
Yes, exactly that.
Yes, here we are. Well, Dora and Callie, Callie, who's been on this show before.
She has.
Is another one of our roommates. Mm-hmm. And they had talked about it so much and made it seem so much fun. So one day, Kathy and I were like, we'll go with you. We're not doing anything tonight. And now have been to pretty much every game since. It's
That's
a lot of
you.
Fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have not been to pretty much every game since.
I think I've only missed one, and it was the first one.
No, it was a scrimmage. You just missed a scrimmage, but that's a scrimmage.
Number scrimmages are like off the book.
Yeah.
We clearly have a dedicated fan base.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you like having a fan base there?
Honestly, yeah. It's a nice added bonus, and just sometimes it makes the loss a little bit more pleasant, I guess. But it's nice to see, you know, that there are other people that come and enjoy our craft, I guess.
Your craft. And handiwork.
Yeah, it is a craft.
An art form.
We don't just show up.
Some might say.
Kathy, would you think that having more people at your games would like make the game more, I don't want to say entertaining, but like more enjoyable as a player?
I mean, I think it's nice when Sam and Dora came to watch one of our games. I think it was nice to have them there. Just like another familiar face in the crowd, because most times it's just the other team's cheerleaders, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all French people, so don't really know what they're saying, but they do a lot of banging when we're playing, and I guess it gets distracting, so maybe y'all should come.
Well, here's a question for like everyone here, because we're all AUP students for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think if AUP were to have like a sports chant? Would it be like the standard go AUP, or would it be something else, do you think?
Oh, I feel like you can't just go with go AUP, you know, that's just so bland.
Yeah.
We like, do one where we just chant AUP. We go from low to like shouting. So you go quiet, 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 and then loud.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's pretty fun. It gets us really hyped. So maybe that.
Do you think we should start doing that?
No. I think.
That was shot down.
I think we're fine how we are.
Just the 1-2-3 AUP?
Do we even do that?
I do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just you.
It's just me and the goal doing that.
I don't think I've ever heard you guys do it.
No, we just, Jan tells us to go play and we go play.
You just kind of walk on the field.
Just get down to business, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, serious faces only, right?
Maybe you guys would win if you did a chant.
Oh.
Wow.
No, I mean, no. I'm trying everything. I'm saying try everything.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, Dora.
Whatever helps
Dora,
the team.
Dora, you a little
you know?
Superstitious?
No.
Well, hold on.
Not at all.
You're playing on a club here in France, Paris.
I practice with a club.
Okay. Do you have superstitions as a player, though?
I don't think so. No.
No?
I mean, if the ball crosses your goal line, I feel like that's a very bad omen, but...
Reading real deep into that one. No, like I have superstitions as a player. I have to put my left glove on first and then my right glove. And every time we score, I touch our crossbar. But that's like those are my superstitions. Yeah, if the ball crosses my goal line, clearly something bad is happening. But
well, I mean, that's how you know. You're right.
It like, is a dead giveaway. Most
Wait,
of the
so
time.
if you put your left glove on first and then your right glove on, and you still don't do that well, does the superstition change, or are you like, you know, we'll keep going with it and see what happens?
I haven't ever really changed it. It's something that I noticed that I started doing, and I didn't want to change it. But I mean, it's left first and then right. That's how it's always been, and I'm just going to keep it that way. And if I put it on right first, I do notice and I have to like start it over. But that's about it.
You have to take it back off and then do it again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you have any superstitions?
Yeah, I wear the exact same pair. I wear the exact same pair of socks. So they're not actually uniform socks. I mean, not for futsal, for outside of the team, because I usually cut them, and I wear the exact same pair of crew socks for every single game. I don't know. It's always whenever I change them, it's something that's been going on for years. Other than that, no.
I get that. It's like once it's in your head, it's in your head, and you keep it going. So Dora, you're a fan. You've been to both volleyball and futsal games.
Yeah.
Why does futsal only have a sign?
Okay, why does futsal only have a sign?
Okay, so I'm going to be real. The volleyball game was kind of last minute, not going to lie. I had practice that day, but then it got canceled, so we went to volleyball, and I will make a sign if you want a sign.
It's all right. I don't need you anymore.
No. I'll make a sign. I will.
I'm leaving. You're my-
I will do it if you want me to.
You're good. You're good.
But also futsal, we just know you more people on the futsal team, and it's...
Kathy's your roommate, though.
I don't know you, Dora.
We're strangers.
Apparently we're strangers.
I live with a stranger.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, but like actually with futsal, Callie and I feel like we're part of the team, even though we can't technically play. So we just felt like we should do something special and show that we really care about you guys, you know?
And then you had to step up the game with the banner.
Yeah, because
yeah,
you,
no,
said,
I did see the banner.
You said we had to make a banner, and we're like, all right, we'll make a banner.
I was joking, but you did show up with a banner, yeah.
Oh, we knew you were joking, but we're like, we're not.
Dora doesn't take things as a joke.
We're not.
She just takes it all as a challenge.
Exactly.
She makes everything a competition.
So, if any... Do you want to elaborate? No, I'm just kidding. But so if anyone's listening that wants to see our wonderful banner and poster, please come to the futsal game.
If you just tuned in, this is The Liberty Show on AEP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:40.
Yeah, we have a game. Like I said, we have a game Friday at 8:30. If you're interested in any information about it, if you email sports@aup.edu, our athletics director will be happy to give you the information. And you can do the same. When's our next game? Our next game's next Monday, correct?
It's Monday, yes.
Last game of the semester.
Don't we have one next Friday as well?
No, we actually do not. It just got moved.
Ah, okay. Well, I guess, yeah.
Good to know.
Real informative teammate right there. Kathy, how many games do you guys have left?
Two. The one today and apparently one next week.
Excellent.
We'll be walking to the one next week,
apparently.
Oh, true. Paris strikes are happening.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you want any last-minute information about tonight's game or walking directions for next week's, again, if you just email sports@aup.edu, athletics director will help you out with that.
Duly noted. Athletics director is going with us today. So,
so since you three are leaving us at this semester, how would you say that sports has played a role in your time here at AUP? Like in a positive way, hopefully, or in some other manner?
So I'm not actually on a sports team here at AUP. I've just been going to all of the futsal games, and I went to a volleyball game and have honestly gotten to know a lot of the members of the futsal team, which has been really great. So even like through an indirect way, I've made a lot of friends through AUP sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like futsal, I just think that futsal really kind of brought the team together. And Callie and I, at the beginning, we weren't sure if we were actually going to join because it's, you know, it's all men. And it was fine, but we just weren't sure how we'd fit in. And I think that just the nature of sports really kind of brings people together because you're going through the same, you know, the same conditioning, the same, like bad practices, the same great practices, the same coach. And when you go through all that together, then it just kind of reinforces this bond, and it just it makes a really good group of friends, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've met a lot of people through sports here, and some people that I've met actually live on Long Island. So I live on Long Island. I can actually keep in touch with them. So maybe I'll do that. But yeah, it was really cool meeting people outside of my classes and my apartment.
What would you say? I mean, Jonathan and I are both 4-year AUP students. I like playing with semester-long students just because I get to know more people more quickly. What would you say on that?
I think, you know, Dora touched upon it. It's, you know, the nature of sports just brings people together, especially football, or in this case, I guess, futsal. So, like, I'm really glad I got to know all of them, and it's been a fun semester. And it doesn't matter whether it's a semester or 4-year students, if you guys, like, get along and hang out together and enjoy the time, you know, it's been a semester.
And on that heartfelt note, this concludes this week's episode of The Liberty Show. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I am Andrew Callahan, and The Liberty Show will be back again next week.
Oh, hi. Mic check, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think we're just ready to record, yeah.
Okay. Welcome back to Let's Get Lit. This is Sarah Sturman, and
I'm Fiona McMurray. You've heard me with Liberty Four. I'm the deputy producer of AAP Radio.
And today we're going to kick it off by saying thank you to everyone who came to the Paris Atlantic Open Mic, hosted by Paris Atlantic and the Creative Writing Society. That was a few weeks ago, and it was a blast. It was really a wonderful opportunity for people to come and share their work. We had piano playing, we had poetry, we had fiction, we had lots of goodies and food and good times. So keep your eyes peeled for other events that are going on with Creative Writing Society, and submissions for PA are still open, and it'll be coming out in the spring, so keep your eyes filled for those. And we're both young writers.
Indeed we are.
Young poets and novelists and all these other things. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Today I guess we're going to talk about writing as young people, as young women, mm-hmm. writing within a classroom as well, because I majored in creative writing and you're majoring in film.
Film, yeah, minoring in philosophy. So two very different modalities, I suppose, of writing. Yeah. But
still, you know, it's still creative fields and filmmaking is... again, telling a story as well. So, yeah. But I think there's a different kind of feeling when you're studying and picking apart the writing that you're doing. I found that in my time in the classroom, it really kind of became it just helped my writing so much to pick apart what other people were doing and have my own writing picked apart in a good way and a bad way sometimes. And I'm wondering, but I've also learned outside the classroom from authors, from writing books, and I'm wondering what your experience with that has been as well.
Oh, yeah. As far as writing in the classroom, I think that when it comes to taking part other people's writing, it, of course, really depends on the author. I mean, I think so many authors can be easily overanalyzed. My favorite example is the Transcendentalism of Henry David Thoreau, particularly the fact that, I mean, of course, I've studied philosophy for most of my life, and yes, he has laid the framework for what has become, you know, the trademark of American philosophy, but at the same time, there's also parts of it where he's just saying, I am so lonely, I am only talking to the trees, there is nothing else out here. God, somebody please come talk to me before I drive myself crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think that obviously we can intentionalize a lot of these small facets within the author's work, but at the same time, I always have a weird time with it because as a writer, I find that inspiration strikes me at random and I have no control over it. I'm not sure if you have that too, but yeah, it's like I find reading people's work to help inform my writing, but I also notice that I take on their tone as well, and so it really is a balance of my own tone and what I've accumulated.
That definitely happens. I mean, the best way to learn how to write is to read.
Yeah.
And I've had that experience too, where I'm reading something or even I'm watching a show or something and I kind of take on that energy, I take on that tone in my writing, and I use different language that I wouldn't normally use. And to your point about finding inspiration, I'm writing on a deadline right now, which is difficult. It's great because I'm forced to go to the library every day and sit down and, you know, put my butt in the chair. Even if I don't get much done, I have to show up. But it's really hard to keep that momentum going if you lose it at all. For me, I find that I can kind of have a streak sometimes, maybe for months, maybe for weeks, maybe for an hour, and then I lose it, and then it comes back, and I lose it. So it's just finding that drive and finding that inspiration is difficult. But
yeah,
reading is a huge part of it for me as well.
Yeah, me too. I think another severe part is when you're writing, and then all of a sudden, like, you have the framework of the outline, you have all these great ideas intermingled, and then it comes down to the middle part. The middle part is just the most frustrating, for me at least.
Yeah. But. Or vice versa. Sometimes I have a great scene that I'm working on or dialogue and it's rolling, and then it's kind of rolling
out of the plot and it's not happening with the plot. And it becomes this mishmash of how do you marry this technique of writing and, and the inspiration and the drive and the emotion with this plot that you have to have for longer forms and some kind of structure.
I mean, as far as plot goes, I was discussing this with a friend and we both agree. I mean, we both tend to prefer the more absurdist style of, you know, lack of a plot and all that. Where do you stand on the necessity of a plot? I mean, obviously there's so many different elements. There's how you can play with temporalities, which of course affect the ontology of the plot at its core. But do you just think that like something has to have a plot in order to be compelling, to have a pathos, or is it more of a nebulous thing?
I think it's up to I think it's totally subjective.
Yeah,
I prefer things with a plot because I find I'm more intrigued by it. I'm more compelled to read on. But I can definitely appreciate things that don't have a plot. And I write with plot as well. But I can appreciate things that don't really have a plot or formal plot or have three plots or, you know, have a different structure or no structure at all. Especially in shorter form, you know, in poetry and flash fiction, that kind of thing.
Yeah. On the subject of poetry, you know, lately I've seen like a lot of poetry on Instagram and stuff like that where these authors are minimalizing their work, I'd say, for lack of a better word, but they're really, it's sort of reductionist poetry, very simplistically worded. I happen to be a grandiloquent anachronism who just adores the excess of Hugo and stuff like that. So I'm a little at odds with this, but how do you see poetry developing from this really sort of reductionist, these pieces? And do you see that at all in the publications at the university?
I don't think we see a lot of reductive pieces in the Instagram style that you're talking about. And I personally can find those frustrating because sometimes it's just a sentence that because of how it's laid out on the page and how the art is around it and everything like that, it takes on this other meaning that the sentence itself doesn't actually have. And layout in poetry can be very important. How you show the poem, it can be very visual, but at the same time, it can be, you know, if you're not writing poetry for the words, then what's the point? You may as well make art. And it's interesting. I think it comes from this place of an opening up of a definition of poetry, that it's poetry isn't a verse that has to rhyme and have a certain amount of syllables or whatever. It's really this nebulous, wonderful thing, which is great. But I think the technique is still very important to me.
Yeah, I think we have to reconfigure the axiology of poetry as well, because then, you know, it really reduces the form and the credibility of the form when one person can be like, I cried, you weren't there. I mean, because you can't necessarily equate that with, like, I mean, Dylan Thomas or someone like that. Of course, he's one of my favorites, but I mean, yeah, it really does come down to reconfiguration of poetry, as you said.
Yeah, and I think the thought that you put into it, I mean, in creative writing classes, what they basically, professors, it's hard to grade you. Mm. It's hard to grade you on your writing because some people have very different styles. Professors have different personal tastes, etc. So you're graded on technique and you're graded on the application of technique that you learn in class. You're graded on the thought and work you put into it. So if you show up to class and you have something like that with an assignment where that doesn't really meet the criteria or it's clear you haven't put a lot of thought into it and you know, if you can't present it well and talk about it analytically, then it's not as valid. I don't want to say that that's totally invalid, that type of poetry, but I guess studying creative writing formally has made me a little bit of a stickler for thought.
The only problem is, like, I have to interject Derrida's whole deconstructionist thing, like, oh, but like anything can be argued, of course, and that's frustrating. But yeah, like a creative writing course, I mean, I think I took a few with the School of the New York Times, which were really informative for film writing and also for creative writing, that which is of course so visual and exhibitionist and When you're grading that, you're really looking for, you know, like how well can this be applied? Like you're really looking for the pragmatism, whereas in creative writing is very difficult, I imagine, too.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that I've loved about studying creative writing. When I was senior in high school, I was in a creative writing class, the first actual creative writing class that I had taken. And we were supposed to analyze a story based on its craft, not based mm-hmm. on themes and plot and everything that you do in a regular English class. We were supposed to talk about what words the author used and how they used mm-hmm. them and how they constructed the actual writing. Yeah. And I was not getting it, and I was not getting it, and not getting it. And then I had a complete breakthrough that it just shifted how I thought about writing. It shifted how I thought about that story, which was The Other Wife by Jack Finney, which is wonderful. I had this breakthrough at like midnight the night before the paper was due. I turned in the paper that wasn't working and got like a C, and then turned in the new one that I wrote the next day and got an A.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it when inspiration strikes like that.
Yeah. It's unfortunate when it strikes at midnight the night before it's due.
Yeah. No.
But that kind of, again, inspiration comes from wherever and it's hard to control.
Yeah.
So.
No, I actually had that last night. I was working on this paper on transcendentalism and lyrics of John Denver, but I realized I didn't really want to write about that. And then I had this breakthrough about the dichotomy of temporalities in Eastern versus Western metaphysics, and how that's affected the evolution of philosophy in these two parts of the world. But yeah, it's just one of those things where I have to write it like immediately. But
yeah. I have that a lot. I've trained myself. I wonder if any of our listeners do this, but I've trained myself to write on Microsoft Word and on Google Docs and nothing else. Mm. Because when I was younger, I used to write kind of on pieces of paper that I found when I had inspiration or whatever. But the visual aspect of it, my own handwriting, the pen I was using, whatever it was, just threw me off and completely destroyed the inspiration in the moment. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start with a blank slate, basically. And my template now is just these two word processors.
Yeah, I tend to use my phone a lot. I feel terrible because I walk around these beautiful streets of Paris and I'm typing on my phone. And everyone's like, oh, are you texting people? I'm like, no, I'm just writing down everything I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we are in Paris, do you prefer to write in English or French?
English. Yeah. I've translated some of my work into French and Italian and this language I wrote, but it's just easier to write in English.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think about the words that I'm using really, and I don't have to have a wide vocabulary, and maybe it's cheating living in France, but
I don't know. I mean, yeah, and I find that translations are often like, for my own work at least, because I love to write in French and English and sometimes Spanish, but like what happens is I can't translate it as completely as I want to when I try to. Do you ever mm-hmm. notice that with your writing? Like it just doesn't have the same effect or?
Yeah, I translate it loosely, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So I let it become its own thing in translation, its own piece of work. And that's also fun. Because if you kind of let go of that control, then you just get to play with that language without worrying that you're going to not catch the meaning that you want to catch because you've already caught it in your native tongue,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think that's why I write in English really. And then this other language that I created with my friend, recently I wrote a poem I've written pieces in English and translated them to this language, Lucad. And recently I wrote, the outline of something and wrote it directly in Lucad, which was really fun. Mm-hmm. And that was really weird and freeing. And
What's your language based on? I mean,
It started with our names and kind of breaking them down into individual pieces and putting them back together in different ways. And then just building on there, I guess.
That's really cool. Yeah.
No, so I guess the lesson there is that writers can be so many different things and approach things in different ways. And we're very visual as well, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like tend to notice every detail in everything, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
Just like end up describing it in this weird monologue. And it feels like the end of Ulysses, this stream of consciousness and everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just, Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. I was wondering where you draw your inspiration from, because talking as visual people, I draw from art sometimes, from people that I'm seeing, from conversations.
I really take a lot of it from art and from film. Like if I go to Musée de Dior HaSharif, for example, and I see like the Manet and then like all of the just the textures, being able to analyze the scope of a piece of art, I think really helps inform me. And then the architecture, and then seeing certain expressions that people make at certain emotions in their lives, and having certain experiences yourself, because I think that you can't be a writer without having any experiences as well, because it is difficult to describe certain things. But that's it for me. Okay.
Well, next week on Let's Get Lit, we'll be doing a look back at the past 10 years, and we'll bring in some student publications and read from the, I believe, the 1999 and 2009 editions. So stay tuned for that. See you next week. I'm Sarah Sturman.
I'm Fiona McMurray.
And this has been Let's Get Lit.
AUP Radio is produced by Savannah Rowe, Fiona McMurray, Elise Chauvel, and Isabelle Guigui. That's me. Our theme music is by Jill Chavitz and Oliver Henry of Chateaurouge. That's all for tonight on AUP Radio. Tune in tomorrow for more, and have a great night.